Coffee actually has some very good and positive effects, but it's also the amount you drink, the quality you drink, and in my opinion, what you add to your coffee. The studies show that when you stick to less than 400 milligrams a day, and in my book, what I do is I break down sort of guidelines around that. Pay attention to your body intelligence. Because if you drink that cup of coffee in the morning and you feel jittery, you feel uncomfortable, your heart is racing, but it's probably not a good idea. And you want to cut back slowly so you don't develop caffeine withdrawal.
I just adore Dr. Numa, and it's like one of those, like, I just fell in love so quick. She's just so magical and beautiful, and I just, you know, I know you're going to feel her energy just through this chat if you weren't able to join us last week. And she's just such a beautiful soul, and I feel so grateful to be connected. I really feel like we're like soul connections.
I feel the same way, absolutely. I couldn't have said it better. I felt the same way when we sort of met on the live last week. And I think you do such amazing work. And I'm so really not just honored, but I'm so actually personally happy to be connected to people like yourself. So thank you. Thank you for hosting me.
Thank you so much. I mean, I feel the same way about you. And oh, wait, Suzanne. Okay, I didn't realize that was your account. I just love when people message me here and I like, okay. Oh, I didn't know that was your handle. Hello. You guys, Suzanne is amazing. I'll talk about Suzanne another time, but I know we'll talk about her. But let me share a little bit for those of you who haven't yet had the pleasure of meeting Dr. Emma until now. She is, first of all, she's clearly a brilliant, beautiful soul, but I feel like she's kind of a genius. So she's a Harvard-trained psychiatrist. She's a professional chef, and we bonded over that in our last live together on her account last week, and she's a nutrition specialist. So we are going to talk, you know, about her background, everything she does, but we're also going to talk about her book some more, because we only talked about it a little bit last week. Yeah. I'm going to have this right here. And just so you guys know, Gizmo, who is right here, you can't see him because the screen's lit, he likes to climb up to the back of the couch and walk over, so just FYI. I've been moving the book around for the last 10 minutes because he's, you know, he's kind of a prince and just does what he wants to do. So,
that's awesome.
So this book is amazing, and I love it because it really focuses on how food affects our mental health. You know, how food affects our brain. Mm-hmm. And so, and the way it's best described in a sentence is the book narrows in on nutritional psychiatry and the connection between food, the food you eat, and your mental health. And so many people really don't realize, you know, we talk about gut health, and we talk about leaky gut and leaky brain, and there mm-hmm. is this connection, mm-hmm. but I just don't think until maybe now. And especially with having your book, it's such an incredible tool for people to really understand how, wow, I can have this comfort food here that'll mm-hmm. make me feel great for the next 15 minutes or 20 mm-hmm. minutes or 30 minutes. But then the long term of it is it's going to affect how you may feel 4 days from now or next week or next month because it's cumulative. So Dr. Uma, I know you've already been featured Wall Street Journal, Harvard Health, I mean, Goop, just everywhere. And we're so lucky to have you here.
Thank you.
Can you give everyone a little bit of your background? Because, sure. You know, you're a chef, nutrition, I mean, so many things I want people to know from you. Because I'm like, okay, I got to stop now. I can talk about you forever. So I'm like,
course.
5 minutes, you get to go.
thank you for your incredibly warm welcome. You know, I when I'm asked this question, it's interesting because I wish that I could say I had this grand plan and it was all written down and I had it in my head, but I didn't, you know, Justine. I followed things that I loved to do. Mm-hmm. I came from a large Indian family and was surrounded by a lot of food, a lot of love, but a lot of doctors, medical doctors, and a few Ayurvedic practitioners. So there was a sort of blend of mind-body medicine, always this connection, grew up, you know, around meditation, yoga, and those types of mindful practices, but also nutrition, joy and love of a family. And when I moved away to study, the things I took with me were my family recipes, my love of spices, but also, you know, how that food was that connection.
Yeah.
And I found that because I started to cook later in life, because I was thoroughly spoiled, there were always aunts and, you know, moms and older mm-hmm. cousins in the kitchen. I was always hanging around watching, but I was, mm-hmm. you know, I was kind of watching and eating and tasting.
Me too. I grew up eating, you know, and I didn't really start cooking until culinary school. I mean, right before I
was. Much later, exactly.
You know, after like college. So.
You understand that completely. So it's not mm-hmm. unusual. You know, and I learned to bake and things like that because my mom recognized that I love science. So I found my sort of more mindful, creative space in cooking as I started on this journey from mm-hmm. scratch, learning the recipes, and found that at the end of my very hard day of studying, that it was where I found my peace. So, you know, I also recognize that we as doctors just don't learn about nutrition. So that was one pathway. And while learning how to cook, we couldn't afford, you know, cable television. And I watched public television in Boston. And one of the famous shows is The French Chef with Julia Child. Yeah. And so I became accustomed to watching her. This sort of helped me salon. It, you know, really got me accustomed to just gaining confidence as a young cook. Mm-hmm. And I sort of really, she was sort of my friend, you know, as I, yeah. my friend on television.
Yeah.
And I would watch the recipes and things. So when I learned later that she went to culinary school almost as a second career, and I had, you know, invested in getting her cookbooks, which are so detailed and, you know, like, yes. like pieces, I decided, you know, why not me? And mm-hmm. decided to really go to culinary school as following a passion, one thing that I felt I wanted to do. And it was one of the best things that I ever did. Yeah. And so when I did all of these things, I wasn't expecting it to really come together mm-hmm. in this niche of the work that I practice. And I feel very fortunate for that. But mm-hmm. that was how I arrived to combine those things. And, you know, I certainly enjoy it. I love what I do. And thank you for saying that you like the book, because the book is really my expression. It was my canvas to share those ideas and hope that people understand that this is a very doable way in terms of your physical and your most importantly, your mental health, mm-hmm. that it's something within your own grasp compared to a prescription, which is, you know, a very different form of treatment and certainly acceptable. But food is within your control, you know, and yes, I know you appreciate that.
Yes, so much. And you know, I just, again, you know, I feel like we're such kindred souls. I mean, our journey is so similar. It just kind of naturally, people always ask me, how did you go from being a chef to nutritionist to a Reiki master? And how do you, what is culinary alchemy? And it's very much like,
I love that.
It's just, you know, it just kind of organically all came together, you know, what you saw, what you believed in, your passion, and what you saw worked. And so you guys, I want you to take a screenshot. So of this book, because this book is not just, it's not just a great read, but the science behind it is so important. And something that I always do with my clients is like, mm-hmm. I can tell you what to do. I can give you a list of foods to eat or not mm-hmm. eat. Usually it's foods that you can eat, is right. how I usually work.
Right.
But it's so important to understand why. Because mm-hmm. once you connect why you're mm-hmm. doing something, it really sticks. And then it becomes very natural. You don't have to just try and remember, you know? And so that's one of the brilliant things about your book, is that it really gives the science. It explains why and how, you know, what's in the food and why it connects to right. brain health and mental health. And mm-hmm. and I think that is, there just really isn't any other book out there. It really breaks it down that way. Not that I'm aware of anyway, and I love yours. So
thank you.
You know, that's what I really recommend everyone have as just a tool for yourself. You know, it's like how we use meditation as a tool, right. you know, and our food choices, you know, the farmer's market as a tool. This mm-hmm. book to me is like a tool. That you can continue to reference, because it's really like a guide.
It's a guide, absolutely. I mean, you and I, people might think we had this conversation before, but we haven't. That's exactly how it's intended, Chef Serena. It's intended to be a guide for people who just want to feel emotionally better. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there isn't a book on this. A lot of people have written about food. A lot of people have written about mental health. Some people yes. have even spoken about food and mental health, but yeah. there hasn't been a book that referenced it with the scientific evidence behind what is current, yes. and what, as you and I know, changes all the time in nutrition. Yes. But for in terms of a guide of people picking it up and knowing these are the things I need to be worried about and maybe cut back on or maybe switch out my diet, but these are the things I can embrace for my mental well-being. And, you know, many people during this pandemic are struggling emotionally, and I happen to feel mental well-being is the silent pandemic, because it's yes. what we're not seeing, right? Because yes. there's still a stigma associated with that. And I hope and I really hope people feel more comfortable coming forth and getting help for how they're feeling. But that's where a guide becomes important, because it's something you can pick up. And with food, unless you have an allergy, an intolerance or sensitivity, you can start working on your food, as you well know, as a tool for healing and, yes. and you know, healing your brain, you know, healing inflammation, all of those things.
Absolutely. And, you know, this is a reoccurring theme, and what I've been sharing all year is that, you know, especially when COVID first started, right? Yes. Everyone mm-hmm. felt so out of control. They were staying at home. They were quarantined. They were mm-hmm. weren't able to go out and do the things that they were used to doing to mm-hmm. relieve stress or what they needed to do. And what I really focus on is, you know, you focus on what you can do. You know, mm-hmm. we have the ability. We have full sovereign, you know, like, I don't like to use the word control, but for lack of a better word, control, we have full sovereign control over what we put in our bodies, you know, like the food, the water, the beverages, the air we breathe in, we decide, and we have absolute, you know, control over that. And so that's such an empowering, you know, piece of knowledge and reminder. And then when we add it in with, like, all the recipes that you have in this book, you know, and just all the information, it's like you just superpower what you have right in front of you. You know, you can now, you know, which one of these foods to combine together. You know, now you know which foods to choose from the supermarket, you know, or from the farmer's market. So it's just.
I think I really appreciate that you appreciated that, because as a fellow chef, you know, I think that it was hard for me to write mm-hmm. chapter 11 because I wanted to put in many more exciting recipes. But then I had to take myself back to that place where I was mm-hmm. learning, and it was very important for me to be able to make the book not just digestible, pardon the pun, in terms of the science, because mm-hmm. the references are there for people who want to look them up, mm-hmm. But also that they could get started, that it, yes. you know, whether it was, you know, making something simple, that yes. it wasn't a souffle or something very special, yeah. which, you know, involves a lot of technique. So that was important to me, but also it is important taking myself back to when I got started, how to set things up, how you know, what equipment to buy, how do you set yeah. up your kitchen, what do you buy? So all of that really was important, because I think that type of planning, even with meal planning, it's how to set yourself up for success, right? In terms of how you eat, because we know from the research that in a 24-hour period, you were saying, you know, in terms of choices, we can yeah. make a choice for, you know, fast foods, junk foods, yeah. processed foods, or we can, you know, we can make a choice for a healthier option. Yes. And in that time, our gut bacteria will actually change based on the yeah. food we eat. You know, you don't, like you said earlier, you don't, may not feel that impact immediately, but it will happen. And even momentarily, you might feel good, you know, because of the chemical responses, you actually might feel okay and think, well, what is that doctor saying? You know, I feel fine. I ate whatever I wanted to eat. But mm-hmm. unfortunately, it's the longer term effects yes. that we have to be worried about. And I hope that that's what people take away from the gut-brain axis.
Yes. And, you know, I'm so glad that you're reminding people of that, because I think, you know, and it's somewhat just the culture here in America. And I know it's absolutely the culture that's in, say, Los Angeles, you know, and some of these other bigger cities where we want to see the results quickly. You know,
yeah. we want to see, and we're impatient.
And we just like want to see results, you know, whether it's weekly or in a week. And you know, the beauty of really nurturing your body and your mind and your brain is that it's that, you know, when you're really doing it right, you don't, there's no result. You just feel good. You're just clear, and you're happy, and you know, you have all the benefits of that, and there's no like sudden shift. You know, that's the thing.
That switch or that irritable mood, that anger or fatigue, all of those different emotions that can come up. Yeah.
Yes, and so what's beautiful is that you just start to it's like the word be. You know, like you're just you are I am, and you just in this
I love that
being, like you just feel wonderful and amazing, and so that's really the cumulative benefits of listening your mind with your gut.
It's, you know, I appreciate how you describe that, because I think that alignment is what brings us a true power. And what I mean by that is when you feel aligned with your inner goals and your emotional state, and you wish, or perhaps you need to change it, or any one of us, as I always say, can up our game in terms of how we're eating and what we're doing. None of us is perfect, but at the same time, you can make that choice to decide that you want to feel better, and you want to improve, you want to make a difference. And I think when you feel that sense of alignment, it isn't overnight. It isn't, you know, but what's overnight is you can make a decision. You can make the decision right now. Absolutely. And you can change something in a positive way and try to take bite-sized pieces of what you're doing instead of a list of 10 things. Because what I find is when people try to do 10 things at once, there's a boomerang effect. But if they try to make slow and steady changes that add up, they're much more successful, but they also then feel the impact. So, you know, I think that we tend to be an impatient country, we tend to be an impatient nation, we're very used to convenience, and that's where sometimes this type of plan can be more challenging. But I show people that, you know, once you get started and you start to feel some good effects, especially in terms of your emotional health because of the impact on your brain and the impact that food has, you really do, you start to thrive. You start to thrive when you feel that alignment.
Absolutely. And, you know, and just to kind of circle back to what you were saying about the simplicity of the recipes, I actually really appreciate that, because what I've learned, again, just to echo what you said, was that it's making it simple is what makes it sustainable. You know, it makes it digestible, it's less intimidating, and then you can always get creative, and you can always, you know, layer on and add on. But I think it's just showing people how simple it can be is one of the most important things. And so I love, you know, that your recipes are, you know, were simple and kind of address that for the average person. And when I work with people, it's very much the same. You know, we do one change, you know, or maybe two changes a week at a time, so that it kind of integrates into your lifestyle, and then it's easier to add on more things from there. So
it's easier to build. It is easier to build from there.
Yes, absolutely. So, Dr. Umo, could you know, for people who are just really trying to understand this right now, trying to understand how food, you know, how our food that we eat and put into our stomach can affect our mental health. Can you give an example of, say, you know, a client that you had, or just like a case that you had where really shifted that person's mental health?
Absolutely. You know, so I think this was pretty significant, because a person was referred to me by a gastroenterologist, and she was referred because she had the onset in her early 30s of, severe panic attacks and anxiety without ever having any sort of mental challenges before. And so she was quite worried, and she walked into my office saying, I really need a medication. I need Zoloft. I hear that it helps panic, and I can't stand how it feels. But, you know, so I listened to what she was saying. And as I took a more complete history, it turned out that she was doing a lot of things right. But one thing had changed in her life about 18 months prior. She had been promoted at work. And she was doing very well in terms of her career. But the promotion meant that she had to travel extensively. So, you know, this is pre-COVID, of course. And she basically would hop on planes, be away from home a lot of the time. So very now what changed were very few home-cooked meals. She was exercising and trying to do everything else. She was trying to be mindful. But also what changed is a lot of business dinners, 1 to 2 glasses of wine, which she wasn't usually drinking. She might have a glass or two in a week. Staying up late, arriving late, eating out of the bar fridge in the hotel because it was too late and restaurants were closed, eating in airports and that type of thing, and more sort of fast foods out of necessity. And what had happened is she had developed gut inflammation and dysbiosis. And how it presented over that period of time was that it presented with severe anxiety. And so she was willing to actually start to make some dietary changes and tolerate that. We used mindfulness, we used breathing exercises, we had her do more yoga, we used a lot of tools that helped her with the anxiety, and she was willing to tolerate that while changing her diet. So she opted, and I felt comfortable that she could do it with by working together to, you know, really heal her gut. And the results were amazing. It took time. But as she started to pack food, you know, do some meal prep for trips, make sure she stopped at a supermarket when she arrived in a different city and picked up food that she could actually eat, keep in her room, keep in her hotel fridge. That was so much easier for her. She became mindful about stopping after a glass of wine or having, you know, having lots of water in between while she was socializing in the business world, you know, which a lot of individuals struggle with. And that way she wasn't drinking more than she wanted to. And really it helped over time. We avoided, and in her situation, we were able to avoid a medication and she was able to correct her diet while, you know, whilst her career had really changed in a good way. So that I thought was very meaningful because it spoke to those components of the things we don't realize are changing and how they can impact our mental well-being.
Yes, no, absolutely. And thank you for sharing that. It's such a great example. And it actually, you know, it reminds me, and right now it's COVID, so we're not traveling very much. And I'm not even sure if you know that my product, Just Add Water, I had you know, created because of clients just like someone that you're describing.
Traveled
so much. Perfect. And they were just a mess when they came back to me. And so, you know, I created a blend that had probiotics, prebiotics, all the super greens, you know, some vegan protein and digestive enzymes. It was just like, just use one of these a day so that I know what you're getting. And
wonderful.
We can kind of, you know, have a little bit more, again, I don't like the word control, but, you know, we have a little bit more impact and influence on what's going on with your gut and your mind. But a tip that I'd love to share with everyone that I personally do when you go back to traveling is just always call the hotel in advance and ask for a refrigerator.
I do that all the time, but
you have meds, you know, or something that you need to
have. And most places are very accommodating.
They're accommodating. Yes. They usually don't even charge you for it. And in that way, you can always, you know, stop by a local grocery store and make sure that you
buy food.
Healthy fruits or snacks. Or, you know, I love crudité, that's my thing. And so you know, like that you have these for snacking when you're traveling because it's so easy to kind of fall off. And it's hard to keep up as Dr. Emma was explaining about her client, but that's something that you can do. And then that kind of habit translates back home too because you become more mindful of it.
It's such a great habit. And I have heard about your new product. I think it's, you know, so fantastic because, you know, the other thing I tell people about anxiety is hydration. You know, remain hydrated. And so when I tell them to stop at supermarkets and give them exactly the same tip, you know, just request a fridge, most people don't know that they can. And, you know, they say buy tons of water, buy the water that you like to drink. And keep hydrated throughout the time, fill your, you know, your glass flask or whatever it is. But all those little tips actually really make a difference to our well-being, you know? And so sometimes it people think, oh, that seems so simple, but they make a difference. And all of them added together are what help people feel in their best health.
Yes, it's so true. And, you know, for those of you who have worked with me or, you know, you've heard the tips and advice that I give, you know how much I talk about water and love mm-hmm. water first thing in the morning, you know, yeah. and how it is actually, it seems like such simple things, but if mm-hmm. you layer, you know, you add on it and it compounds, you know, mm-hmm. and then, and now you've got a great kind of routine or regimen going. You know, Dr. Uwe, we had a bunch of questions about mm-hmm. coffee. Mm-hmm. We have questions that came in before we went live, like DMs about coffee, and a few already came in, you know, just mm-hmm. through our comments about coffee, whether or not you drink coffee. Mm-hmm. I don't drink coffee, I drink matcha, but, mm-hmm. and what your thoughts are on sure. coffee.
Sure. So I actually drink coffee. I drink matcha as well. I love matcha. Mm-hmm. So you know, based on the research I did for my book, coffee actually has some very good and positive effects. But mm-hmm. it's also the amount you drink, the quality you drink, and in my opinion, what you add to your coffee. Mm-hmm. The studies show that when you stick to less than 400 milligrams a day, and in my book, what I do is I break down sort of guidelines around that so people know types of coffee to think about if they consume coffee, that you're usually okay and you don't have a worsening of symptoms. But if you are, when I say this about coffee, I always say pay attention to your body intelligence. Because if you drink that cup of coffee in the morning and you feel jittery, you feel uncomfortable, your heart is racing, then it's probably, for whatever reason that day, you can always re-challenge yourself, but it's probably not a good idea. And you want to cut back slowly so you don't develop caffeine withdrawal. Mm-hmm. So, you know, stick to a small amount, have it early in the day, before 12, or in some cases 2 p.m., so it doesn't impact your sleep. And be mindful of what you're putting in it. If you're putting a quarter cup of processed creamer in it, mm-hmm. and you're putting in 8 teaspoons of sugar, then you're not doing your body good. So stick to a small amount early in the day, and, you know, worry about the source of your coffee so that you get a good quality.
Yes, and so I hope that answers many of your questions, since the coffee was a really theme for the questions that came in, and I was like, oh, a lot of coffee drinkers. But, you know, it makes sense because, especially with this year, you know, I mean, coffee is something that a lot of people lean on, and I think that fatigue, whether or not you've had COVID or not, has really affected everyone, just the quarantine fatigue, you know, Zoom fatigue, device fatigue.
Right, people want something to kind of pick them up a little bit.
Yes.
You know, I think that, but on the other hand, you know, green tea is a great pick-me-up.
It's so great, you guys. Matcha.
You know, exactly. Yeah. You know, it is. It has EGCG in it, as you know, and it's that little pep that, you know, you can have that in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that way people even say it helps them focus, and there's a lot of evidence behind it. So that's an alternative. You don't have to drink coffee if it's not your thing. But I think we attracted the coffee drinkers today.
So. Yeah. Well, something that we also bond so much on is just the notion of eating the rainbow, right?
Yeah.
And, mm-hmm. you know, I talk about that clearly with culinary alchemy and your energy center, mm-hmm. the chakra, and all the vitamins and nutrients that you get when you eat a rainbow throughout the course of the day. But I would love for you to explain to people, like, the impact on the microbiome when you're mm-hmm. eating the rainbow and how that impacts our mental health.
Absolutely. So, you know, when we say eat the rainbow, we're talking about those beautiful colors, different colors of fruit and vegetables. Mm-hmm. And the different colors bring a different variety of polyphenols, antioxidants to our microbiome. Mm-hmm. Why is that important? So, you know, carrots have carotenoids, the anthocyanins of the deep purple color that are brought to blueberries. All of that and all of those substances really need the gut microbes to be made to be more effective. And they bring back rich antioxidants, anti-inflammatory properties, which ultimately are so good for the brain, because that's what the brain needs. Mm-hmm. That's what the brain, some of the substances the brain needs to keep itself in check. It needs antioxidants mm-hmm. to break down radical oxygen species, which, if left to their own devices, cause diseases.
Right.
It needs anti-inflammatory properties to reduce, you know, a potential inflammatory substances, maybe in our diet itself. Mm-hmm. So the color, the multiple colors, the diversity also bring back biodiversity to our gut. So the more, I challenge people to have as many colors of fruit and vegetables in their diet in a day, in a week,
yeah.
The caution I have is around fruit in terms of, you know, especially if someone's struggling with their weight, just take a low glycemic fruit and 1 to 2 servings a day. Blueberries are great. Berries are lower glycemic. Mm-hmm. But outside of that, don't exclude them. You know, just have less of them. But, you know, you can always make up with the amount of fiber from your veggies to balance that out.
Yes, no, and that's great. And I totally agree with you. You know, don't exclude them, but choose the ones that are lower glycemic. And that's always good to have balance. And so, you know, I think that sometimes when people are trying to make that shift or, you know, they have a tendency to lean too far one way, it's really all about balance. You know, what we're doing is we're trying to balance out our gut. You know, we're trying to balance and support our body. So it's not about going too far one way or the other. There's a question that popped in that it's a bit more of a personal question on just on cooking, but I'm going to read it off to you if you don't mind. It says, how do you motivate yourself to cook when you don't like cooking and consider it a chore because of the added responsibility of cleaning? Such an honest question.
Yeah,
you know, I'm sure absolutely. There's a lot of people that feel the same way.
Yeah.
It's much more cost-effective to cook at home. So
it is. You know, studies have shown that when we cook at home, we consume fewer calories, and we consume fewer calories even if we're not following a special dietary plan. Mm-hmm. So what I would say about this is, you know, if try to ask yourself, is this something you enjoy doing? Do you like cutting vegetables? Do you like putting together salad? Do you like making a soup? Or reverse engineer, think of something you like to eat and maybe start making that and making it in a simple way. And maybe share the task. If, you know, I know not everyone has family with them at these times, especially during quarantine, but maybe, you know, use the dishwasher more. You know, don't worry so much about the task of cleaning up, because as you become more efficient, you'll use fewer dishes. And, you know, if you have a larger family, then someone gets assigned to helping with the dishes and someone gets assigned to helping with the prep. Mm-hmm. Most importantly, I think, try to find something that you connect with in the cooking experience that brings you joy. Mm-hmm. Because it's hard to do it without that. Not impossible. You can also just say, listen, I want to improve my health and I'm going to do this. You know, not everyone likes to exercise. You know, they exercise until they get that lift and they decide, you know what, now I'm going to do it. So it's very similar with cooking.
Yes.
Maybe just try a few things, try to get into a routine. You know, just start using the dishwasher, learn to wash up quickly. In other words, the emphasis shouldn't be on the cleanup, it should be on the food and the prep. Because I think there are ways that you can do things more easily. I think, you know, my chapter 11, I sort of tell people how to set up the kitchen easily. Now, you don't have to buy every single piece of equipment. You can just do it very simply. You know, you need a couple of fry pans, you need the right equipment to get started. And I would just encourage you to start there.
Yeah, no, and those are such great tips.
Yeah.
And, you know, someone had said, try to look at cooking as an art. And that's another way you can do it too. Mm-hmm. And I also think that, you know, if cleaning is a challenge, start with a one pot, you know, like start with like even an Instapot. I mean, there are these appliances that can do everything.
That make it so easy.
Seven things in one appliance. It can air fry, it can pressure cook, it can do so many different things, it can steam. And so maybe just start with like the one and see what you can create from it and then kind of go from there. So at least there's tons of recipes always, you know, for these.
They always come with recipes. There's always something online you can find too.
Yes. Someone had asked, well, back to coffee. Someone had asked, does decaf coffee have the same benefits as regular caffeinated coffee?
So decaf coffee has a tiny bit of caffeine in it. I can't really say that it, you know, has a full-blown effect of it. Decaf is really an option for someone who likes caffeine, I should say likes coffee, and wants to not have the full burst of caffeine because either they don't feel good or it affects their sleep. So, you know, having a little bit of decaf is more of, in my opinion, a way to still have coffee, but know that you're taking in less caffeine. Mm-hmm. I can't say that the health benefits are fully there because it's a much smaller amount.
Mm-hmm. So I hope that that answers that question. Someone had said that, you know, talking about teaching culinary school and nutrition for medical school. Dr. Eva, I think we need to do that.
There needs to be integrated. Exactly. I think we should do it, Serena.
It should be core curriculum in medical school that you understand the power of food as medicine and nutrition.
Exactly. And some medical schools are certainly trying harder than others. I run an elective course at Harvard Medical School.
Yes, exactly.
And, you know, but it's not in the core curriculum. So it's something that we really need to bring forward to integrate it for doctors and for actually for everyone who wants to learn more about the food as medicine field.
And thank goodness that you're doing that. You know, I mean, it's something I didn't point out earlier, but that you teach this class. I mean, just the way you're affecting change and the way you're helping people, I mean, beyond the book, you know, just everything you're doing. And I just want to take a moment to acknowledge
thank you
for that, just once again. Thank you so much, because we need this, you know, as a society, as a collective, like, we really need this information. And we need more teachers. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, you guys, do you have some more questions? I almost forgot. So I was thinking, and I literally just thought of this right before I, you know, went online. And I thought, I have, because I bought your book, and then you were so generous to send me a copy as well. So I have an extra copy of your book. And I was thinking maybe we could just do a giveaway right now. Like, anyone who is online, you know, if you screenshot our live and you post it, or you send it to if your private account, I don't know if that works, but, you know, if you want to DM it to me or DM it to Dr. Uma, or if you're not a private account, if you post it and share it and tag us, then, you know, I'll select a winner for sure and send an extra copy. And I'm sure
Dr. Uma,
would you like? Yeah, that'd be kind of wonderful. Fun. So, I was just thinking, so because someone else, a dear friend of mine, does that has done it before with other things like digital stuff, and I was like,
awesome.
I have an extra book, you know, so I can share this with someone. So you guys, you know, screenshot, tag us, tag me, tag Dr. Uma. If you don't already follow Dr. Uma, her handle is right here at the very bottom of your screen. It's pinned, so you can see that. Go give her a follow, and, you know, and if you're a private account, then go ahead and send it direct message to me, direct message to Dr. Uma, and we'll pick a couple winners to send you guys, you know, her awesome book. So thank you. I was like, I'm just going to do this. And I'm like, wait, I'll wait to do this on before I see it.
Always love sharing the book.
Yeah, I thought that would be fun. And then a bunch of people actually asked if, you know, where we can find the book. Is it on Amazon? Sure. I'm assuming it's everywhere, but...
It is actually Amazon and lots of places. You can also go to my website, where we give links to the different locations. And my website, where you can subscribe, is umanaidumd.com. UMANAIDOOMD.com. Subscribe to our newsletter, and also you'll see all the links to buy the book, but you can also just go to Amazon or your local store.
Yes, and you guys, there's just so much information, so make sure you subscribe. And for those of you that I feel like I always get the question, so I'm going to just address it. Yes, we always do the replays. I know that there's often a lot of information that come through on the lives, and I know a lot of you take notes, but some of you are just listening. We record these, we clean all the audio and video, and then we relaunch it. So you'll definitely be able to take more notes and listen to Dr. Uma again. We'll put it on YouTube, it'll be on Facebook, it'll be on, you know, my IGTV. So go ahead and subscribe to my newsletter. It's not really a newsletter, it's just the email. We'll send it out when they're ready. And put on notifications so that you know, I always announce it when it's ready. And of course, it's also on our YouTube now. At first, we weren't doing that, but then we're like, wait, we should just put it everywhere. So now it's on YouTube as well. So if you have any more questions, I know that some of you had asked about Dr. Uma doing speaking, you know, engagements or teaching. I'm sure that's just all virtual now, but Dr. Uma, are you Is that something that you're doing? We had a couple questions about that.
Yeah, you know, it's really something that goes through my team. And basically, there are certain things that I'm presenting at. And what we try to do, Serena, is we try to share as much as we can on Instagram. Yes. So that way people know what I'm up to. Any new podcasts, any new interviews, any new YouTube events that I've done. And same thing with any presentations or even conferences that are virtual that I'm presenting at. We just share it there, and so people know about it.
Yeah, that's perfect. So you guys go follow Dr. Uma because you're going to get all the information there. And I just had another question come in. Okay. Actually, thank you for this, because I was going to ask this myself and I forgot. So are there a couple, just like one to three, just takeaways that people can start as soon, you know, even if they order your book, they're not going to get it for a day or two on Amazon Prime. What are, you know, one to three takeaways, tips that people can do as soon as they get off of the live to start nurturing their mental health through food?
Absolutely. So a couple of things that you can do are, you know, just start to embrace your eat the rainbow. Start to embrace those vegetables, servings of fruit. But also, when I say eat the rainbow, I like to add on to that, add in fiber-rich foods, because those really nurture your gut. So just by adding in fruit, vegetables, beans, nuts, seeds, lentils, legumes, healthy whole grains, you can start to feed those gut bacteria positive substances. And a happy gut is a happy mood. So that's the reason, that's the reason that it's important. So I would start with that. I would also start to add in spices to your life, because spices are calorie-free, salt-free, sugar-free, and they really make your food.
Oh, I lost her.
So you, you know, you would enjoy it. I'm here. Can you see?
Oh, okay, yes.
Okay, sorry. I got distracted by that. So those actually help the spices, exactly. So the spices, simple thing, like turmeric with a pinch of black pepper. If you don't cook yet, add it to a soup, smoothie, a tea. Those have really good anti-inflammatory, antioxidant, antiviral, multiple good properties for you. So even just adding in, and my book goes through different spices as well. And the third thing I'd say is, you know, think about probiotic or fermented foods and prebiotic foods, another group that is pretty easy to start including. So fermented foods are kimchi, miso, tempeh, kefir, all of these, just adding a little bit to your diet will really feed those gut bacteria or gut bugs in a good way. And it's really about keeping the balance. And prebiotic foods are very simple. Think allium family. So think about making soups if it's cold where you are, you know, garlic, leeks, onions, and so many others that are listed, so that way you start to just build out your food groups and add things like omega-3s. You know, omega-3s can be fatty fish like salmon. They can also be plant-based. So whichever direction or whatever diet you eat, there are ways you can bring in these foods.
Yes, no, and those are such great tips. Thank you so much for sharing those. And I hope that was helpful for you guys. We did have someone ask to say, I take probiotics every day. Should I stop and just do it through food? Which actually is a great question.
Yeah, you know, I think it's entirely up to you. I usually recommend if someone comes to me and asks that first, I usually say, let's try the foods. But, you know, there's no harm if you're doing well with the probiotic. There's no harm in also improving for how you're eating. I think the two, just like, you know, Serena, I'm sure you'll agree, just like you can't exercise out of a bad diet, you can't sort of, you know, eat your way out of, you can't sort of eat your way through with by taking a supplement. So I think that a supplement plus a healthy diet works well together. So I would just say to that person, continue that and just improve your diet as well.
Yes,
or add those to your diet.
Yeah. Agreed. I mean, I am absolutely a believer in supplements, but I do feel that it's the combination of food and lifestyle and mindfulness and supplements. It's all of it together really kind of gives you the opportunity to really optimize your health and your happiness too. So thank you so much, Dr. Muji. Is there anything else you want to share? I talked a lot.
No, I love talking to you, and you have had some great questions, and so did your audience. So you and I will talk more offline, but I always love connecting with you, and I thank you so much for hosting me and for the giveaway. That was a great idea.
Oh, yes. No, I mean, I just kind of thought of it. And I was like, oh, wait, I didn't actually book it, though. So, yeah. So, you guys, tag us, DM us. Someone's going to get at least two books. You know, we're each going to give one away. And, you know, thank you so much for joining us again today. Thank you for all your questions and engaging and all your beautiful messages. We had a lot of people already say that they're ordering the book. We had some people say that they already love the book, so they already had the book. So thank you guys so much. And thank you, Dr. Wilma. I'm going to message you after this. So.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Serena.
Okay.
Take care. Bye, lovely to see you.
Okay. See you guys soon.